Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 138. We're back!
Yay!
And the circle must be broken. Oh, sorry. And with me this week, we have Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
A circle must be broken.
That was mine. And Mary Lang.
Hello.
And Rhys Parton.
You're supposed to say the circle must be broken.
All right. The circle must be broken. I didn't know there was a code here.
I didn't know what either. And Mr. Rhys Parton.
Dr. John, a friend. I mean, the circle must be broken. Hello.
That's it. Yeah, right, now, with all the times changing and stuff, how long has everybody got this week?
We're back to normal time. I think Mary's got an hour, right?
Well, actually, no, today's different.
Yes?
Because most of the docs we work with are off to a conference, so unless my beeper goes off to tell me that there's something to be done, you might be stuck with me the whole podcast.
Yeah, I went to the docs on Saturday in Liverpool, where the Beatles museum.
I use Google Docs. Does that count?
Oh, the doctor. Oh, docs as in the doctor, maybe. Good. Anyway, right.
I agree.
I've got some. I don't know where to really start today. I'm not going to do the charts, basically, because it's all a bit higgledy-piggledy, having just got back yesterday, and I'll get back into the swing of things next week. I haven't had. I've sort of been slightly detached from the world of Doctor Who over the last 10 days. So obviously, if anything's happened in the last 10 days you'd like to bring to my attention, other than what I do in the news later on in this particular podcast, feel free to do so. I did go to Who Blackpool, and Dave did allow me to film in the shop, so there will be something coming on YouTube very soon when I get around to it. I've got so much little videos to throw together that it may take a bit of time before it appears.
Nice.
But I don't know if he deliberately was avoiding me. The first day I went in there, he wasn't in there, but they did give me a discount on my Rory figure, which I was after, which is now sitting on top of my Mac. And then the second time I went in, I saw him very briefly, and he was running around, and he came up, or his girlfriend came up with the excuse that they were having internet problems. That day it was really terrible weather, as hailstones of gale force winds, so I don't know if that had anything to do with the internet. I hung around for a bit. He apparently was going to come out and talk to me, but the chance never arose. And on the Sunday, we decided just to stay in the caravan and chill out for the day. So I didn't get to actually speak to him properly. But it was very nice of him. Thank you for the discount. And there will be a little video of the interior of their shop as soon as I can put it together. But yeah. Yeah, so I look forward to the news because I don't know what's been going on. Looking forward to that. In the meantime, I've got some audio, no. Yes, it is audio.
Correspondence.
That's the word I was looking for. But I've got to switch this on. So you might
say anything.
So you might hear some actual feedback, because I've got to play this to you via my little speaker that Alicia keeps nicking. We're going to start with this one, because this is the first one that came. Thanks, everybody, that sent in.
This is Matthew in North Alabama, sending in feedback on the Series 4 episode Planet of the Ood. This episode first aired on the Sci-Fi Channel here in the States in 2008. I wasn't a big fan of this episode. Mainly, it was down to the fact that I felt that it took all the mystery out of the Ood in one go. Looking back on it now, I can see that I missed a lot as a result of focusing on that. There's the script, for example. On the surface, Planet of the Ood is your fairly typical Doctor Who runaround. It's got chases, it's got gunplay, and it's got threatening alien monsters. One might even argue that it's a play of sorts on the old base under siege formula that was so well used during the Troughton era. That's just on the surface, though. Look a bit further down, and Keith Temple's script is so much more. It uses the Ood Operations Corporation, and its CEO, wonderfully played by Tom McInerney, to explore a series of complex issues. Those issues range from corporate power, animal rights, slavery, and genocide. The scenes of the Ood in the container and the unprocessed Ood in captivity are but two examples of this. Point, though, is made by the Doctor's response to Donna when she comments that she doesn't have slaves, saying, quote, "What do you think made your clothes?" It's a bit heavy-handed at times, perhaps, but Temple Script makes its points and makes them effectively. It's also helped by the rest of the production as well. Graham Harper's direction is first rate throughout, especially in the dialogue scene. There's also a standout performance from Catherine Tate, who's given a chance to let her acting ability shine as Donna comes to terms with how the Ood are being treated. Last but not least is Murray Gold's haunting Songs of Captivity and Freedom, which underscores both the sadness of the Ood's captivity and the joy of their freedom. Looking past the issue I had with this episode in 2008, I found a lot to like. It's an episode that's very well written, well directed, nicely acted, and features one of the best pieces of music yet produced for the new series. It also does what all great Doctor Who is capable of, entertaining its audience, but also making it think. Best wishes to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Matthew Kressel.
Thank you, Matthew. I don't quite know what was going on with the audio there. I don't know if that was an internet problem, but that is actually what the audio is like.
It almost sounded like he said Tom instead of Tim McHenry.
Yeah, but if it is what the audio is like...
However, I'll simply call him Lord Percy Percy.
But so if that is what the audio... If the audio is actually better than that, then I'll dub it over later on with some rather snazzy little bits of podcasting genius.
Snazzy.
Were you going to say something there, Mary?
No.
Okay. In that case, if you weren't going to say anything, the next bit of audio that came through was this one.
This is the Galactic Exchange. Crazy. Accept no substitutes. You have a message. Connecting you now.
Cyber Legion reporting. Things have been very quiet around here recently. In fact, nothing much has happened in this quadrant of space since the end of Season 7 of Doctor Who. Something has gone wrong. What has happened? Oh, I see. Correction. Since Series 7, not Season 7 of Doctor Who, finished. Hold on. I am picking up a signal. Someone is trying to send a message using Who code. Let's see if I can work out what they are saying. Who. Dot. 1.co.u.k. It's a difficult code to decipher. I will have to concentrate on this. What now? Oh no. The Cyber Empress has insisted on keeping my command center spotless. Ever since Adam pointed out how clean all the spaceships were on Doctor Who, the Cyber Empress has been unable to stop cleaning. Danger. Overload. My cyber mind cannot cope anymore. I will have to power down in a dark room for a while. This is the Cyber Lord of the Ninth Cyber Legion. Signing out.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Jim the Fish. As if you didn't know that's who it was.
Yeah.
How was that for you lot?
Painful.
Was that? Oh dear. Right. Okay. We'll have some other audio, or audio'd. In fact,
audio'd.
That's
ood. Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Part of the Ood by Keith Temple was nice enough. I do not have a lot to say about it. In the previous episode, the Doctor said he was Spartacus. Spartacus led a slave rebellion. In this episode, the Doctor is caught up in a nude slave rebellion. The human empire being spread over three galaxies seems silly. At 1,000 times the speed of light, it would take 2,500 years to get to the nearest galaxy. A writer can have spaceships go as fast as he wants, but this very advanced technology does not seem to fit with the rest of the episode. Part of the episode was filmed in a cement works. And this seems an odd choice for a nude breeding station. Bye for now.
Bye, Ian. But I have to say, it is science fiction, and the science fiction existence of wormholes will obviously enable people to travel greater distances in a shorter period of time, apparently.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it can be explained away with just the sort of bracket science fiction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That particular cement station is still being used to produce cement.
Is it? Okay.
And wonderful. It was also used as the battlefield in the Suntaran segment of A Good Man Goes to War.
No, was it?
Ah.
Yes.
All right.
Anyway, thanks, Ian, for that. It's lovely to be up in Blackpool, stroke Fleetwood, and see things popping into my inbox ready for this show. By the way, listeners, have you missed us? I think.
Yes.
No, I said listeners, for God's sake.
I listen.
Yeah, I'm listening right now. I missed you.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I said, we went up north. When we went to Liverpool to see the fantastic Beatles story, which is obviously a museum about the Beatles, brilliant place. I was in there for 2 hours. Could have stayed in there longer, apart from Alicia disappeared. Well, basically, we got in there. I know it's not much to do with Doctor Who, but there is a sort of loose connection, if you think of the chase. We got in there, and just about to go through, and Alicia grabbed Isabella's hand and disappeared. And we didn't see her again for 2 hours after that. So basically, the chances of... obviously, we went into the Cavern Club. They've recreated the Cavern Club in the museum. It's amazing.
It doesn't
smell like it, but the whole club's there. You've got the bar, you've got the seats, you know, the area, and obviously where the bands would have played. So we couldn't have a picture as a family taken in that area because Alicia had gone off with Isabella. We come to the Sergeant Pepper section where you can have your picture taken in front of the Sergeant Pepper set up, but no, because Alicia had taken Isabella away. So we didn't actually rejoin them until we got to the shop at the end of the tour. And it was a bit late by then, so that was a bit of a pain. She's a teenager, it's a pain in the... but also, part of the tour...
Well, did you take any pictures of just you and Deb in these areas?
Just me or Deb, yes. I did. Facebook account.
Allowed to set up a... Or you couldn't grab any passing tourists to take your...
No, I suppose I could have done. Could have done, but no, I didn't. We did get some nice pictures around there. Would have been nicer, all of us. But what part of the tour was also supposed to be a little Elvis thing, but we got in there, paid a little bit extra for the Elvis part of it, got through it and thought, where's the Elvis bit? Asked the chap at the shop counter. They said, oh yeah, if you want to go there, it's about 10 minutes walk up to the Liver building. We didn't really fancy walking all the way up to there, so we didn't do that. And then I got back... And we're reading the brochure, and there was a further bit called the Fab 4D, which is like a 4D cinema experience of the Beatles. And that was apparently on the pier near where we'd actually gone. So I missed two out of the three things we could have seen for our money. So that was a bit disappointing. They could have explained at the beginning that the three parts of it were quite spaced out from its central section. But... The bit we did see was fantastic, and I could have gone round there and stayed there. But after that, we went into Liverpool. This is where the Doctor Who connection is starting to come in. Went into Liverpool. I had to stand outside Primark for a considerable period of time while they went in and did some stuff. But I found Forbidden Planet
in Liverpool. Wow.
And I bought for somebody to buy me for Christmas, because it's Deb's idea. You buy your stuff that you want as Christmas presents, and then you put them away, and then somebody gives you money, and then we get them for Christmas. And I got the fourth Doctor t-shirt and the fifth Doctor t-shirt.
Oh, cool.
And bearing in mind the scarf, I've got that packed away for Christmas somewhere, and they had the scarf on display in the shop, and it is genuinely really, really long. I've seen Alistair Pearson walking home from work yesterday wearing the same scarf, and it's really, really as long as you'd expect it to be, because I was half expecting it to be a shorter version of the fourth Doctor scarf.
Except I hear that the colours are not authentic.
They wouldn't be. Somebody's going to have to be pedantic about that, aren't they? But it looks good. The actual scarf, I've seen it in its
good.
Wall.
Then I can wear my non-authentic one and
right and
get away with it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've seen it on display, and it looks good enough for me. I'm quite happy with it. That people will recognise it as a Doctor Who scarf. The T-shirt itself has the scarf on it, but obviously the added effect of wearing the actual scarf over it, I would have thought would be fantastic. So I'm looking forward to Christmas now.
We're looking forward to the pictures of you in the T-shirts.
Oh, that won't happen until Christmas, because they're packed away. It's all gone quiet over there.
Well, we can still look forward to it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Something to anticipate.
Yes, so I accept that you can indeed...
On the same level as the new, you know, the Christmas special episode.
Yes. What Christmas special episode? Oh, we mean Doctor Who, not our Christmas special episode.
Yes.
Both, yes.
Yeah, so, right up there together. The Christmas special and you in the T-shirts.
Yeah, thank you. I will say, though, although there was quite a lot of really interesting things in Forbidden Planet, the Doctor Who section in that particular shop was very, very small. So that's all I got was with the T-shirts. And also was gratified to note that the extra large, which is the one I bought, actually fits me. But they did also have an XXL one, which maybe I should have bought to make myself look thin. I don't know. But
I think that there is a connection between you seeing the Beatles and you being Doctor Who involved. Isn't there a connection that the Beatles went public in 1963?
There is that. Well, 62. I'm being a bit pedantic, but Love Me Do came out in 1962.
Oh, okay.
They had their first number one in 1963.
Well, not in the States.
True. But the connection was obviously The Chase, because the Beatles appeared on The Chase. And it's very difficult to find a copy of The Chase with that sequence on it because of copyright issues that the BBC now have with the Beatles. But I have got the video, at least I think I have got the video of it that did have the Ian dancing to the Beatles' Ticket to Ride, I think they were playing, actually.
Yeah, I've seen that clip.
Not
as
too
well.
Sure it's on the DVD. I've got a funny feeling I've thrown away the video of that blast.
Oh no.
I've just thrown away. Never mind, because when I get the DVDs, I throw away my old ones I've recorded off the telly. And I think The Chase is very likely to be one of the ones I've done that with, which shows a bit more for me. But I can always borrow the VHF off Alistair and re-get it if I so need it. Rather rambling, actually. And talking about shops involved with Doctor Who, whoone.co.uk, who we obviously haven't visited for a couple of weeks.
Would that be whoone.co.uk?
No, I said it's whoone.co.uk. They've got.
That's what I said. Whoone.co.uk.
Oh, no, that one.
That's what I said, actually. 1001 Nights by Rick Briggs. Rick Briggs?
Rick Briggs?
Sure, yes. That's got to be Nick
Not
Briggs.
Nick Briggs.
Isn't it? Well, it says Rick Briggs. Yeah.
They held a writers' competition.
Yeah.
At Big Finish, and when they won, everyone thought, well, that's not fair. Nick's just giving his brother a chance to write, and he says, no, he's not related to me.
Oh, so this is the writers' competition episode. 1001 Nights. Mm. It's a Peter Davison story, and it's out on CD and various other medias, but you can get it on CD via whoone.co.uk at £14.99. It just says released 2012, and as we're towards the end of 2012, that must be around about now, even though it says coming soon. Eighth Doctor Dark
and where
Eyes.
Did you say we could get that?
Whoone.co.uk. Eighth Doctor Dark Eyes has got a very interesting picture of McGann on the cover without his long hair, but in a leather jacket, sonic screwdriver pointed at picture. And also, from the little picture I can see, is the character from that Doctor Who story with Amy, no, the dream one, what's that called?
Amy's Choice,
yes. I can't remember what the character's called now. The strange character that kept disappearing.
Dream Lord,
that's the one, thank you. Pretty sure it's him. It looks like him anyway in the picture. That's called Dark Eyes. And, of course, that's coming out very soon. And they have pre-orders for those. And such things as the Blake 7 Archangel, Companion Chronicles 7.5 and 7.6, and Exodus Code by John and Carol Barrowman. Although they've spelt John wrong, it's J-O-H-N. Nick, not J-O-N. He's not Jonathan Barrowman. So that's what's coming soon, along with these TARDIS Smart Safe, which I've actually seen. It's a little safe that you can lock, and there's a little... I think it has some connection with your smartphone, and you can lock it and unlock it via your smartphone. $29.99 that's going to be. Won't be rushing to get that one. Be fair, but you can, if you so wish, get it from whoone.co.uk. As far as latest products goes, it's coming towards the end of 2012, as I said, and you'll be needing a calendar at $7.99. The Doctor Who calendar is now available, along with the Doctor Who lunch bag, which looks like a white sort of Teletubby style Dalek.
No!
Yes. What do you mean, no? Don't you like white Teletubby style Daleks?
No. Teletubby Daleks are evil. No, oh, wait. Daleks are evil.
Yeah.
Tell us tummy Daleks are
terrible.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so that's it. That was whowon.co.uk. So
that would be whowon.co.uk.
Am I not speaking clearly or something?
Although Adam did cross into William Shatner territory there.
UK. Did I?
Yeah, whowon.co.uk.
God. Right then, Planet of the Ood, then, the before circle. We move on to other things such as news and stuff. Yes, I hadn't seen this episode since it actually aired. So it was like watching it new, because obviously my being old, my memory isn't as good as it used to be. But we start off with like an Ood announcer, which I'd forgotten about. But it turns out the Ood announcer is actually from a TV advert, or I'd use the word TV in sort of slightly inverted commas, because it's more of a sort of internet world universe net broadcast of, because they're selling Ooods, aren't they, as sort of slaves. You would have thought, though, in that far into the future, that slavery of any sort would probably not be something that human beings would be involved in. But you never know. It's a story. And nevertheless, the Ood are the slaves, as they always are depicted. Willing slaves in Doctor Who. Mm. But, of course, it starts very quickly that the rather irritating sort of executive bloke gets done in. And
I love the way he's handed a binder that seems to have just been bought down the road.
Yes.
Nearby office retro. Supply store.
Yes.
Yeah, retro binder, yes. But yeah, he's quickly done in, because obviously that last time we saw the Ood, they were doing this to people left, right and centre. So the next shot, of course, is in the TARDIS, where it's rocking, or the camera is rocking from right to left.
Now,
left
that,
to right.
I'm afraid that when Donna and the Doctor are going back and forth like that, it's one of the most fake times in the TARDIS I've ever seen.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They did forget to wobble around a few of the fixtures in the TARDIS to make it look a bit more real, didn't they?
There's a Beatles reference for you. He says mystery tour.
Ah, yes. But anyway, the Doctor...
Another thing I like about the Doctor in this scene is he does a force wave.
Oh, yes. When,
what's a force wave?
The Star Wars sort of thing. These aren't the droids you're looking for. He does that little wave with his hand.
Okay. Anyway, but obviously he's gone for scruffy look this week. He hasn't got his tie on. He's just got like a black T-shirt and his shirt open, which is quite interesting. And I just love Donna's sort of it's very cold acting. Sorry, Catherine Davis. It's very cold acting.
Then her disappearing inside to get the coat while he's saying, "Ah, Donna Noble on another planet."
and yes, well, I like that.
What we have there is a quarry.
Yes.
It
was also used for The Temptation of Sarah Jane Smith and Enemy of the Bane, and those were the only three stories ever filmed at that particular quarry. How'd they miss a quarry back in the old days?
I have no idea.
Of course, anyway. It's obviously not freezing cold, because you can tell right through all the white snow you can see all the vegetation.
Anyway, yes, it probably was quite cold, because I should imagine this was filmed in the middle of winter, so she probably didn't need as much acting as I made out.
It was filmed in August.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was filmed in the middle of summer.
Okay, it's brilliant acting by Catherine Tate. But it was quite good snow effect, because a couple of flakes actually appear to fly into the camera. Obviously, that's a mill job, but very, very good. Yeah, and then we meet Percy from Blackadder.
Or Captain Darling later.
Yeah.
Blackadder.
And they watch a repeat of the killing of the executive bloke. Now, the Indian girl in this, has she been in any other Doctor Who?
I don't think so.
Not that I know of.
No, something.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing
jumps
her.
Jumps to mind in regards to her. I think she must have been in something else on British TV.
Unless she was in the more recent, the Series 7, you know, when they go to the India station.
No.
No, that's not her?
No.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
She's been in a few things, but she Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Queen Jamilia in Attack of the Clones.
Oh. Did you actually see her face in that, though?
Insufficient data for meaningful response.
That's a very nice segue, by the way.
I've seen Attack of the Clones once.
But your segue from Doctor Who to Attack of the Clones and to your love of Disney rather rounds up the recent news of Disney's acquisition of Lucasfilms.
Yes, that Disney now has a new Disney princess, Princess Leia.
Yes! Excellent. And you can guarantee that we will be getting that as a sort of thing in the Disney store very, very soon. But yeah.
There are pictures all over the place, like people have been drawing her in with the rest of the princess.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah. Oh, dear. Well, I'll be interested to see, obviously, that it's one of those things that I do like Star Wars, but I don't watch it that often. Look forward to seeing what they're going to do.
The original three are fine. The prequels, blah.
They're very romantic.
My geek daughter also thinks Phantom Menace is the best thing in the world.
Oh, she's a good girl.
No, they're okay. I don't mind that.
I am totally with you, brilliant. Kirby. The prequels are rubbish.
No, I don't want to say they're rubbish. They're okay. I think they're a bit sort of swallowed up in their own reputation. But
especially the Jar Jar Binks things. Oh, you can have.
I like they redid the end of the.
The 20 megabyte Star Wars podcast.
Okay. Well, Mary, I'll have Jar Jar Binks and I'll enjoy him.
It's just a bit of a shame because the way they ended episode, or re-ended it when they redid the ending of episode 6, was a nice way to finish it off. And now they're bringing it back with episode 7, 8 and 9. So it's a shame. So that's the end. Oh, no, it isn't. But never mind. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. They find an ood in the snow and the ood is dying and Donna feels a bit sorry for it. And then it gets all scary very briefly.
It's a he.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall we bury it? No, we'll just leave it there. The snow will deal with that. Cheers, Doctor.
Yeah.
It's just like him saying, I'll tell you later, you know, sort of thing. It's sort of, you can't be bothered to film that bit. But they could easily have covered that by just sort of cutting to a shot of them plonking a stone on top of a mound or something.
Then they'd have to find those stones.
Never mind. About to deal with that spaceship going overhead.
Talking about the spaceship going overhead, looked okay. The only thing, it looked fairly real, or I'm not quite sure they've got the lighting underneath the spaceship right. Because it was obviously the sun's above and it looked like the underneath was lit quite well, but it could explain that away with the sun bouncing off the snow and lighting the
eyes. It's flying awfully low to be able to then turn around and land on its tail.
This is thousands of years into the future. I said millions.
You've got a box. He's got a Ferrari.
But he didn't buy it. He sort of just let it ride. And of course, there's then a long shot of the city that they're heading for, which looked quite good with the sort of planet in the background. It sort of looked a bit like Saturn. I think, though, if there had been a great big planet like that, had been that close to a planet like that, there would be a gravitational effect, but science fiction. There's certain things in this I actually really like. There's an Andy Warhol painting of some ouds in the background, but I thought Andy Warhol was long dead. That was a joke, by the way. Don't start getting all pedantic on me. It's a style, I know.
I wasn't going to get pedantic about that. It made perfect sense as a joke.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the ood, they're thinking the ood have got some sort of infection called red eye.
You missed the whole business about the Dr. and Mrs. Noble joke.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yeah,
but there's also that scene where you can get your roots with different comedy speaking things on it. Yeah, when they drop something. Dope. Yeah, that was quite good. I quite like that.
Yeah, that was. I didn't like that. That was.
It was okay. Bearing in mind, it's a synthetic voice thingamajig. Of course, you could sort of change its thing to make different sounds and stuff.
Yes.
So that makes sense to me.
Yeah, since I don't watch The Simpsons, I didn't get the duh till I looked it up.
No.
Yeah, but I'll have to say that they actually... Dough? Dough, did you say? What are you cooking? God. Anyway, so yeah, I quite like that. So also, the rabid ood it was making a strange noise. But I couldn't work out whether the noise was actually coming out the ood's mouth or out of its little ball thing. It was going... Rawr, rawr, then flapping.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah. So I'm going to watch that when that comes up. Because I have actually found the ood looking a bit bonkers. So next time it comes on the screen, I'll have a look at it. This is where you find out about the great and bountiful human empire, which Ian was alluding to. It didn't make temporal sense. And of course, they're in the year 4126. And if Ian is right, it would take 10 times, even 20 times that, to actually populate other galaxies.
You're right.
Unless, of course, like I suggested... wormholes or Time Lords to take you.
Are there no wormholes?
Don't know. They usually are.
Well, there's binders instead of computers to look information up on, so...
Well, some things are timeless.
yeah, Simpsons references.
Binders full of ooze.
There's things that came out in the 60s that have hardly changed at all. Like me. Daleks. Come on, help me out here. What else hasn't changed much? Books, apart from the audio. I mean, normal books haven't changed much.
Well, my geek daughter made me very proud this past weekend.
Oh,
because
yes.
We were at Barnes & Noble looking at various books, and she wanted, I forget what the book was, but I said, why do you want to buy the book? Why don't you have this? Why don't you see if it can be downloaded to your Nook Color? And she said, I like paper books.
Wow, good for her.
Like I said, good girl.
Yes.
I like paper books or audio books or digibooks. I don't really mind. As long as there's something coming out of a creative nature that people
It would have
read.
Been cheaper to download the stupid thing.
I'm only saying that because...
they are cheaper.
I'm only saying that because I've been commissioned to write some more quiz books, but they are... they're going to be e-books, not printed books like the previous.
Is there
going
to be more football things?
No.
Doctor Who?
There's copyright issues involved in Doctor Who. So, no. I could do a free one, but don't think.
Yeah, I'm afraid we are looking at the
BBC
future.
Aren't particularly happy about that. No,
no more VHS.
The initial one
DVD.
I'm starting off with is called The Beatles Quiz Book, which was very handy when I got the message and I was actually heading out to the Beatles Museum.
Excellent.
And a couple of others, which are, if you saw the conversation between me and Chris Cowling on Twitter, you may sort of get a few ideas of some of the things that have been sort of thrown in my direction. But yeah, that's why I don't really mind the e-books, because I think I've sold as many e-books of The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin as I have of the paper ones. So yeah, they're good. Any type of book, whether it be e, whether it be audio, and I particularly like audiobooks, or whether it be paper, all good in my book. Moving on to Doctor Who. Right, now, these oods, they keep saying something, don't they? The circle is at the moment. Which one of them is Ood Sigma? Is that the one that looks like he's like the butler of Percy?
Yeah,
from
it's the one with the Sigma on his jacket.
But that's at the end he gets a Sigma, doesn't he?
Oh, he has. I believe he always has it. Let me check.
But he's not called Ood Sigma to the end, is he not? Or am I getting that bit wrong?
No, I don't think he's called anything until the end.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. So I'm going to talk about Ood Sigma later, if you can remind me of... Because I always say this in this show. I'm going to talk about this later and then completely forget. So please remind me.
Alex,
to talk about
Ood
Sigma.
Very doctorish. That's very doctorish. I'll explain later.
I'll explain later,
yeah.
Yes.
But he never does. That's true. But I do actually want to talk about... moving back to the actual episode, we get a shot of them wandering into some sort of industrial unit, and they look down, and there's something down there which we sort of find out later is like a big hive brain, is it? Like a the sort of collective brain of the Ood or something?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Which, now, what is Percy doing with this brain? Is he just sort of, he's got it imprisoned by some sort of strange electrical thing? And this is, oh, it's the circle, isn't it? This the sort of fuzzy sort of lightning thing.
I found it interesting. Apparently, that when they went into Warehouse 15, that was the first time that the Doctor character, not the Doctor, the Dr. Ryder, had gone into Warehouse 15. Well, that's right. The Mr. Halpin had not been in since he was a child as well.
Okay.
And because it's you can see Dr. Ryder looking down at it, just absolutely both revolted and fascinated at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, Dr. Ryder is the actor, Adrian Rollins, was James Potter in all of the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. Really?
Well done.
Yeah.
Of course he was. Well done. I'm impressed. And it takes a lot to impress me. But anyway.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Exactly. Oh, and they so actually found an actor who would be about the proper age for James Potter.
Yeah.
Because he was born the year before the character was.
Oh, okay.
When I watched him in this episode, I kept thinking of Martin Freeman for some reason. He kept acting like he does in Sherlock.
Martin Freeman, yes, somebody who I'd like to be the Doctor. Yeah. I've always said that.
He'd be good.
Well, I'm a little fuzzy on the timeline here because they're talking about how the Ood have been trapped like this for 200 years, and yet he kept referring to his father as being involved in this. And so between the father and the son, have they been living for 200 years?
Possibly.
Because it sounds like the father set all this up.
Yeah.
He could have been a really healthy guy and lived for a long time.
Could.
Maybe.
Anyway, they come into this great big sort of warehouse where there's lots of sort of blue containers, TARDIS.
That would be the let's see, that would be
the warehouse.
Where is it? I lost it.
The warehouse. Anyway,
isn't it an airplane hangar?
Yes.
No, never mind where it is.
It's Mod St. Athan. It used to be an RAF station. The largest station of the forces, it has had not only this, but Army of Ghosts, Children of Earth Day 5, well, lots of Children of Earth was in there. And outside...
Did you just go, ooh?
Outside, it was... the airstrip was being used for Out of Time for Torchwood.
Cool. That doesn't surprise me either. But anyway, they meet up with these Oods, who are all crammed into a very smelly container, which I said about, Donna saying, oh, it's a bit smelly. She could have said that when she landed in Rome. Pompeii.
It was South Wales overflow camp in the bad version of Torchwood.
Okay.
What, season 2?
No, the one that...
the American version.
Yes, that one.
Oh, right, the wonderful story that ties. Oh, right, yeah, I get you now.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
Carry on.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I wondered, every time they went into the warehouse or they went down into the Ood brain is and all that, they always were remarking on how bad it smelled. I mean, if the Ood are such great servants, I mean, you could probably smell them coming. That would make a very great servant, would it? It's like, ooh, here comes the stinky one.
Yes. Well, they can give them a bath, can't they? But anyway, now there's a shot, right? If you go to... Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't do the time reference. Oh, yes, I can. No, I can't. Unless you can get to a bit where it says 24 minutes and 17 seconds to go, because I'm watching this on Play All Episodes. No. What? Do you mean no?
No, I can't.
No. All right, well...
Oh, wait, yes, I can.
Okay, yeah, here we go. Because there's a shot of Donna that looks like she's just about to regenerate.
Oh, yeah.
She's sort of... she's in the middle of the warehouse, and she puts her arms out and her head back.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Really, she's just going, oh.
Yes.
But it does look like that. Someone should take that and put the regeneration effect on that just for the hell of it.
Where she's sort of Dr. Donna, and she's got Time Lordiness in her. That's...
Hey, maybe that's some more foreshadowing for
Dr. Donna.
Yeah, when they bring back RTD. to produce Doctor Who. Now, actually, I was watching this and thinking, although I love current Doctor Who, we have to be critical of it, but I do love it. I still think it's fantastic. This is, for me, personally, is more, feels more like a Doctor Who. It's got that sort of, the elements that are traditionally part of Doctor Who more, for me, you know, the atmosphere of it.
Is the kind of Doctor Who I wish we were watching now.
Yeah, I say the stuff we're watching now is fine. It's good. It's a transformation, but I just feel that this is more traditional style Doctor Who than we are seeing mostly at the moment. But
has more general appeal.
But then, in 5 years' time, I might sort of look back on the episodes we've been watching recently and feel the same thing. It might be just because they're old episodes now that they just feel like old Doctor Who. But so this is where we see quickly, when we first see the long shot of the warehouse, all of the containers, a crane thing picking up the blue boxes and dumping them. Obviously, that's a forge. Yeah, the claw. Which, for me, it's a gigantic thing, moves around a little bit too quickly for something of its size.
I had that problem, sort of, but then I went, this is however many thousands of years in the future, why not?
And also a different planet with different gravity and... stuff.
Exactly.
And also it's meant to have a fun scene for the kids to laugh at as the doctor's running away from that claw.
It's just when you see that long shot of it picking up the things. Yes, I suppose you could be skillful with it enough to grab it quickly, pick them up and move them around in that way. But it's just the way it swung. It picked it up and swung. It just swung a little bit too quickly for something of that size.
It makes a great tool for, you know, a mad, crazy guy to be...
Oh, yeah.
Going after Doctor Who with. I mean, you know, it's pretty agile.
Doctor Who? Wait. What do you mean Doctor Who? Oh,
the Doctor.
Here we go.
The Doctor.
Exactly.
Here we go. But anyway, the Doctor and Donna do escape with... I can't remember that character's name now. And she then becomes very nasty, doesn't she? Because they're trying to sort of talk around. Hmm. And then she basically just dobs them in. So then at that stage, you think...
Solana. Solana is her name.
Solana, yeah. She's... horrible. She dobs them in. Not a very nice character at all. But have you noticed her little communication device, the traditional science fiction wrist communicator, which you would have thought, they're quite chunky. I mean, if you actually made one of those things now, they would be a lot smaller and still work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my phone is way smaller.
Yeah. which I thought was quite...
And big. I don't have a smartphone.
Indeed. And even when this story was being made... they could create an operational wrist communicator.
Well, and Kirby will remember
than that.
From time in the Ronnie. Ronnie is wearing a wrist thing that's almost as chunky.
Yeah, and of course we've got Captain Jack and River with their vortex manipulators, which you can imagine.
Time in the Ronnie. If I may plug that I was on.
Good segue. Good segue.
Because I couldn't have a week without podcasting, so I was on Earth Station Who.
Right, what episode of Earth Station Who was this?
The one Time in the Ronnie. I don't remember.
Okay, look out for that one. But did I not tell you off on Facebook for forgetting to plug something else? And thank you for the plug for this show. Fantastic.
There was a silent in the room. Sorry.
Yes, and because you watched it and you recorded your podcast, I watched it too, Kirby. Just for you.
And how'd you like it?
I actually enjoyed it.
Well, you do enjoy it. Well, it's not so you enjoy it, but it also makes you cringe at the same time. It does. It's got some really good elements. And some of the special effects in it are very, very good.
And I could have done without Mel's.
Mel's? I mean,
Mel.
Melanie?
Yes, yeah, so that's a previous incarnation, obviously. Or
oh, my Lord. the screams from that girl are so
that's
irritating.
That's what she was hired for.
It's in episode one, matching the exact pitch of the end title music. Anyway, where were we?
But I do find this is... that
which
was,
the version I saw didn't do that. So.
For me, that's... I mean, I've always... I have this argument about Sylvester McCoy as being my least favourite Doctor. People say I'm saying he is a terrible Doctor. He's not. He's okay. He's just least favourite. But in this, this was the one, because he was so bad in this one, that took,
well, I don't
took
think
so
he was
long.
Bad. I think the direction was
bad.
Yeah,
but doing the stuff with the spoons and the spoonerisms and stuff like that. It took, for me, watching it, a long time for him to get up in my estimations to be the Doctor because of that. He was okay by series 2 and 3. But he still had some very irritating things that still irritate me now about him. The rolling of the R's and... And the way he can't act angry. He can now, by the way, but then he couldn't act angry. Yeah, like in Battlefield, he does the William Shatner. There will be no hiding. Anyway, moving on back to the Planet of the Ood. There's, of course, we have mention of the song, don't we? the song, the Ood song, because the Doctor and Donna discover some embryonic star dudes, really. They haven't had their brains cut out of their hands, or whatever you call it. And, yeah, that's quite sad. Of course, Donna's quite moved by their plight and decides...
Oh, hands I down. Catherine Tate did an amazing acting job in this.
She's just an amazing, amazing performer.
What episode in this particular series is this? 5? I believe
three.
By this point, I had been mixed about Donna up to this point, and I'd seen some good things with the other episodes, because I really didn't like her in the wedding one,
the runaway bride.
But at this point, I completely went over and became a Donna was pretty much my favorite companion.
Yeah, well, I go along with that.
I was sold at the end of last episode.
Yeah,
me too. Yeah,
well, I was almost, and yeah, I'd say so. But this nailed it.
Yeah, but anyway, so as I was saying, they stumble across these imprisoned sort of embryonic Oods, which still have their actual brains intact. And we see the brain. See, the Ood holds out its hand, and very good bit of special effects, because it does look organic and it steams.
Yeah.
Which is really, really good. Probably quite easy to achieve, but it looked effective. And this is the point in which Donna says, well, I thought everything was going to be exciting and fun and everything. I don't like this. I want to go home.
Take me home, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this is all very, very, very good stuff. What's next? Oh, yes, the Doctor then gets all sort of angry and shuts himself in with them and shuts down his teeth. He does when he starts getting...
And goes mad.
And then they get sort of handcuffed to a railing allowed to sort of have some mad Oods attack them. And, of course, they say... This is because in this episode, this is Dr. Donna is mentioned. They could always say... Donna Doctor, couldn't they? But they emphasise the Doctor Donna.
Dr. Donna Friend.
Yeah.
Dr. Donna Friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
when those Oods were after them, I did think, is this a setup for a to be continued? Is it a two-parter?
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. They seem to be, that's very good, the fact that does look, they've done well, because they must have had a limited amount of costumes, and they did achieve the effect of having lots of Oods in it. So anyway, the Oods themselves start sort of using their little vocal things to kill people. They seem to be having a great time in doing so. And fortunately, our baddie, Grasshopper, gets done in very quickly after this point. But Harry Potter's dad, he turns out to be one of the friends of the Ood, doesn't he, this Harry Potter's dad? And he's managed to manipulate things a little bit. And there's a big battle. Now, I was watching a battle sequence the other night.
There's another. I didn't do a screen capture on it, but I believe the DVD has another oddball thing with the subtitles with the Friends of the Ood. What do they call them? What's the abbreviation that everyone's using?
FOD? FOTD? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll find it.
Okay.
But whoever did the subtitles completely messed it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
They probably fixed it for the Netflix version.
I'm just
yeah, they did because I didn't
I really
see any
don't know
problems.
Why they didn't I don't know why they didn't get the script to read when they were doing that. It doesn't make sense.
There's a battle sequence that which reminded me of a film I watched during the week, Avengers something or other. Some Marvel thing. And I started falling asleep because there was so much battling going on. And I had the same thing when watching the third of the... what's that thing in New Zealand called?
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. The third Lord of the Rings film, there was about an hour of a battle and I fell asleep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I must admit, when battle sequences go on for too long, I start zoning out and falling asleep, no matter how tired I am. And
I'm with you on that one.
The Avengers film is the same for me. The last three quarters of an hour was it's a good film, but the last
with The Hobbit coming out so soon, we're going to be rewatching all of the extended edition of Lord of the Rings.
I must get around to it. I've actually got all three, but I haven't actually got around to watching episode three at home yet. I've had the DVD for about 7 years, never watched it. Watched it in the cinema, not watched it at home yet. Anyway, back to our doctor. I only said that because there was a battle sequence outside of Ood's and people fighting and shooting and stuff, and Harry Potter's dad looking particularly cold.
James Potter, good. Yes.
So we've got James Potter and Percy, have we?
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is obviously the bit where the Doctor and Donna are trying to escape the Ood's with the things, and they're going, Dr. Donna Friend, as they're just about to get done in. And something stops.
That's when the States would have a commercial break.
Yes. Yeah, and quite rightly so. But something happens to stop them, that something telepathic occurs between the embryonic Ood's and the non-embryonic Ood's.
Non-embryonics.
Yes. I can't remember what actually happened, though, because they just stopped, didn't they? But something must have done to... Was it just did it happen to coincide? Or were the non-embryonic Ood's detecting the danger that Doctor and Donna are in and saved them by intervening?
Well, you see them raise their hands and communicate.
Is that how you interpreted it? They sensed that Doctor and Donna were just about to get killed, and they obviously that wasn't supposed to happen. So they sort of used its sort of empathy to stop the other Ood's from attacking them.
That's right.
I'm glad I interpreted it that way because I was a bit confused by that bit as to why they stopped like that. But anyway, so they were able to get away, Doctor and Donna, and they sort of dodge the bullets and explosions and snow. And then Ood Sigma, I'm pretty sure that's Ood Sigma.
Yeah.
Oh, it is, because he's got his little Sigma thing on his thing. Appears and blinks at them a couple of times before they go back
in. I do like that. The blinking is well done.
Yes.
It's very Oodish.
As is the red eye.
Eh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As
yeah.
is the red eye.
Yeah.
Well, on that topic, in The Confidential, there was only one animatronic head that did the blinking and the facial expressions, and only one actor who knew how to work all that. So every time there was a prominent Ood with an expressive face, it was always him.
Right, yeah.
Same with the Jadoon.
Meanwhile, Percy is going to... He's always the chief. He's like... The Marsh bloke that was in the classic series, isn't it?
And Adam.
Yes.
Adam.
Yes.
Since Robert isn't here, I have to play Robert. Adam. Adam.
Sorry, I thought I should have said.
The red
eye. Do you want to do that bit? I can re-edit that bit. Go on, do that bit. That bit again.
Adam.
Yes, Robert.
Adam.
Robert, you're here.
The red eye. Doesn't that make you think of Robots of Death?
Yes.
Robots
it does.
Of Death. They had red eyes when they went evil.
And you didn't quite
brains.
You didn't quite interrupt me in the right way, but it was pretty good going there, Robert.
That's Mary. A Robert moment.
And are you doing that? Obviously, then Magic did flap his ears in a way that usually does to grab the attention of people on the show, but it rather got. You know, my name. Moving back to Doctor Who. Percy is trying to.
The ear is no longer in the electric fire.
That's true. It's probably always flapping it, flapping the soot off it. As I was saying, Percy starts planting bombs around the perimeter of the area which the Ood hive brain is sort of being housed. But then we discover that Ood Sigma has been up to something. He's been putting something in Percy's drink.
Air tonic.
Yeah. because he's obviously with, I did forgot to mention about the fact that his hair keeps falling out.
Yes.
And then we get Harry Potter's dad, what was his name again? James Potter, then sort of admitting that he's part of Save the Ood, and he's been sort of helping Ood Sigma contaminate his drink, and then he starts going a bit funny, throws James into the brain. So that wasn't very nice, was it? Yeah. Bit of a shame, really. But anyway, and then he does one of those evil smile things that baddies do, and then starts going a bit funny and just about to
as
shoot,
baddies do.
Yeah, just about to shoot, yeah. Doctor and Donna, and then he starts getting a bit, feeling a bit ill, and he looks like he's actually being sick, but throws up some
drunk spaghetti. Well.
Hey? Oh yeah, he throws up some spaghetti, very chunky bits of pasta, as we say.
And when I was first watching this episode with my kids, they were all going, yeah.
I reckon they toned this down. I reckon they made it, the original version of this probably looked a bit more graphic, like they did with the Empty Child Doctor Dances, when they toned down the transformation of the, you know, of the chap from what's his
Somewhere.
Name? No, that comedy series. One Foot in the Grave, yeah. His the bone crunching of his sort of the face mask, the gas mask.
And I'm afraid that this is one thing that really threw me back to the old Doctor Who classic elements that, you know, always made me groan, you know, because I just don't believe this transformation is so convenient right now, and they've been giving him that potion for more than how long?
Oh, but they're rude.
Well. And if this is how you can make an Ood, why do they have these these centers where they're giving birth to them? Why don't they just turn people into them?
It's
true. Because they were enslaved before that.
That's true.
Yeah.
But never mind.
And Dr. James Potter had to weaken the shield around the brain.
Yes.
And and he
it's just too convenient. Too convenient.
All right, Robert. Right.
Come on.
Anyway.
It doesn't bother me, and I'm and if it were to bother anyone, it should bother Mr. Pedantic.
Yes, Mary, stop being Kirby.
Well, I'm just thinking. This is typical classic, you know, hard to believe Doctor Who, but anyway.
Exactly, and that's why I love it.
Anyway, just going back to James Potter, I think he gets grabbed to save him from himself only minutes before he gets murdered by Percy. Anyway, back to Percy. When he's transforming properly into the Ood and he's just puked up all the pasta, he tears off his scalp, which is quite gruesome, really.
Yeah.
Quite impressive, I thought that was.
That's the gross part that the girls disliked most. Not the throwing up of the tentacles.
How many horror movies do people rip their faces off to reveal monsters underneath?
Yeah, it's true, but that was quite gruesome. The way it was done, where you actually see his scalp coming away from what would be his skull, which actually it was the top of the Ood's head.
And I like the strings of rubber cement as the hindbrain goes into his hand. It's very well done.
Yeah.
And Donna's face is all this is saying. And I like the fact that one minute you've got Percy and the tentacles and they just cut away and then cut back to a fully formed Ood just to save any more sort of money on special effects. And then he pukes up.
I love Donna's reaction, though. It's an Ood. Yep. They turned it into an Ood. Yep.
It's an Ood. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to say. And this is obviously where Ood Sigma comes in, because I just wanted to talk about Ood Sigma, because he appears a few times, doesn't he, after this episode on his own, and especially when the Tenth Doctor regenerates. Because he keeps appearing, doesn't he?
Yes.
Now, is it a vision of him that's appearing? Because first of all, you get, obviously, at the end of this episode, he says, your song is coming to an end, and the Doctor goes, what? Which was quite early on, because I don't think Tennant actually announced his departure at this point, did he?
I had a feeling they knew by this point.
Yeah, I'm saying, but he hadn't officially announced it. But they kept this going for a
while. Oh, that's right. Go ahead.
Yeah, in the commentary.
Well, in the commentary for Silence in the Library and the Forest of the Dead, everyone knew that Stephen Moffat was taking over.
Really?
And I think David Tennant had decided to go with Russell T Davies when he left, so they probably did know he was going.
Yeah, but he didn't announce it until after the end of the series.
And I think when I watched this episode, I was going, uh-oh, does that mean that we really are coming to an end?
Yeah,
But
anyway...
Although,
sorry,
I did think... I think maybe River could have been used as a bit of a red herring. Your song is coming to an end soon. River's song.
Ah, very good.
Ah, yeah, I think I thought that too when she showed up.
I didn't think that. That's brilliant. Thank you. Mm. Anyway, about the Ood Sigma, back to Ood Sigma. Right, because he appears in this, then he appears... Does he not appear briefly in one of the specials? No?
I believe so, yes. What was that?
Is it when the Doctor... The Doctor's gone a bit loony, and that woman who he meets on the planet, on the Waters of Mars episode, right at the end, commit suicide. Does he appear then? So obviously, again, I've only seen these episodes once. I just seem to remember Ood Sigma.
Oh, it looks like the Waters of Mars. Yes, I believe he does.
Yeah.
Yes,
he's standing by the TARDIS, isn't he?
Yeah. And then, of course,
He's seen it at the end of the episode when the Doctor realizes the severity of what he has done.
Yes. Oh, right, that's it. And then, of
Wikipedia.
Course, he appears. Thank you.
Don't you love Wikipedia?
And then, of course, he appears.
No, I don't.
Yes, Kirby, it makes you look
just
so smart.
As he's staggering. He meets Rose, doesn't he? He meets Rose for the last time, or first time, in fact, depending on which way you want to look at it, and then staggers across to the TARDIS and he sees. And we hear Ood's song then, don't we?
Yeah.
Now, how many people were startled with the when you saw the Proms concert that the Ood singing is done by a contratenor?
No, I didn't.
I wasn't.
No. Sorry.
Well, I was.
Okay.
And being the music buff here, it is. But I'd like to mention that the Song of Freedom is used again at the end of this one of episodes in The Stolen Earth, I think, or Journey's End, the one after that, where they're all flying the TARDIS, and it's louder, even more joyous piece, and it's amazing.
When I heard it then, I thought, oh, this is an amazing song, and I totally forgot, since I had never seen the planet, I mean, I'd only seen the planet of the Ood once, I'd totally forgotten that it was a reference to the Ood. So when I heard it in this episode, I thought, oh, now I know why they call it the Song of Freedom.
Right.
Right, that's great. Now, I'll let you carry on and sum up about this particular story, which I quite enjoyed, having seen it a second time. As I said, it was very traditional Doctor Who for me, and I just... I thought it plodded on really, really well and got paced quite nicely, a couple of silly things in it, but I think I enjoyed it enough to gloss over the silly things. On the whole, yeah, it was okay, wasn't it? It was more than okay. In fact, it was just good. Not brilliant.
It was all right.
Not fantastic. It was good. I'm going to accept the dog's
dinner. I thought it was an okay story, but very, very well directed.
Yes. Graham Harper is a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've got one problem with... the fact that the next time trailer gives away who the villain is. Well, mind you, the title of the next episode does, I guess, but...
Yeah.
It gives away a fair bit.
Yeah,
And that Martha was coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I think that was a teaser to make you watch. Martha.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, we saw Piper at the end of the last episode, so now we're seeing, you know, a teaser that Martha is going to be back in some form the next time.
Oh, yeah, true. What's he talking about?
Yeah, Reese, you and I don't agree on very many things, but on the music, we definitely do.
Well, yes. What was I going to say? I've suddenly forgotten. That's not very helpful for a podcast.
What? How could you forget?
I liked the Planet of the Ood, but it's a bit like Gridlock in that whenever I go back and watch this one and Gridlock, I enjoy them a lot, but I keep forgetting about them when it comes to thinking of the show as a whole, and keep forgetting them, and that, because it's not completely groundbreaking in terms of a story arc or anything, but it's a well-put-together episode.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's just an okay story, but it is so well directed.
Mm. And acted.
And acted. Definitely.
Mm.
And did we lose Kirby, too?
Huh?
Sorry. Reese and I are having a conversation. We're not hearing you, Kirby.
I'm Googling.
Sorry, I'm back. Sorry, all hell broke loose.
Get
away from there!
Before Dr. Phil corrects me, it's counter tenor, not contra tenor.
Okay. Right, I'll just tell you what happened there. It won't be very interesting, but I went out to put the dog's dinner on. The phone rang, and when I came back in, obviously one of the dogs had knocked the table that contains Alicia's computer, which is currently recording my audio, and the power supply, which is, as you probably remember, a very loose connection, disconnected itself. So that's why I was just saying, get out.
So, Reese's brilliant little encapsulation of the episode just got lost?
No. Yours has been recorded on the master computer.
Oh, okay.
But my audio has been recorded on Alicia's, and the audio track is now not quite.
Would that
quite
be the Anthony Ainley or the Roger Delgado computer?
Or as Reese would say,
yep.
Anyway, sorry, I'm just trying to write a message on Facebook.
Have we heard anything from Robert? Speaking of Robert,
I think you'd know it if Robert was here.
Well, I don't know if he may have communicated with you separately.
Wasn't he here earlier? I'm sure I
heard him. Just a brief moment.
Adam.
But, I mean, he didn't respond to your comment about when we were going to do the podcast.
No.
And he's not here today, so I just wonder.
I think we can presume that if Robert's very quiet, he's not very well.
Yeah,
he's very active online, isn't he? So you can always tell when it goes quiet. He's probably a little bit poorly at the moment. So hopefully, the comedy provided by
Mr. Reese
Parton.
I wondered if he had communicated with you, Adam.
He hasn't communicated with me, no. But then I have sort of been slightly out of the loop. Even though I've had obviously access to Facebook and stuff, it's not quite the same as being at home and having a iMac to browse the internet with. Slightly more, useful. Anyway, back to the podcast.
In the TARDIS.
My audio track is slightly out, but I don't think it'll be out enough for me to worry about. I was just trying to send a message on Facebook, actually. I'll do that later. Right. Oh, somebody's posted in the 20 megabyte podcast. Let's have a look at this.
Yes, somebody, Kirby, a very interesting picture.
Kirby,
yes.
Bart. Look, somebody or other. Let's have a look. I'll use my iPad for this.
I read that as Bartley.
Bartley Sloan.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
Right then, let's have a look. Yeah. Neil and Jenna. Oh, yeah, I've seen this. Yes, it's a Neil Gaiman picture with Jenna Louise Coleman. Yes, I saw that.
It's right after they did the read-through of his episode, which obviously will definitely... I remember it was only about a month ago... We weren't quite sure if Neil Gaiman's story was going to be in Series 7.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember a few years ago, we weren't sure he was going to write one at all.
Right.
And now he's writing his second one.
The episode I'm going to be curious about is the one that Neil Cross has written.
Oh?
Because, have you ever seen the series Luther?
No.
That's what he writes, and it's gritty, gritty detective work with Idris Elba.
Why, I guess the name just went whoop.
So I'm curious to see, someone who writes such dark dramas writing something for Doctor Who.
How often do names go boop for you? How often do names go boop for you?
Often.
Anyway, so have we sort of finished with Planet of Ood?
Now, while you were on the phone, we made note that we already know who the villains are for the next story and a temporary new companion.
Yep. Well, new stroke old.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Which when we saw this for the first time and that came on, my girls just went, yay!
Yeah,
because they love Martha.
Mm. Me too. I'm so glad she was back.
Yeah. Although she's so wasted in not this next one, but the one after that.
You mean the next story or the next episode?
The next story after.
You mean the Doctor's daughter?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, on the whole, my summing up of the Planet of the Ood is better than I remember it to be. Yes. And, of course, like I said, you may remember me saying that Series 4 was my favourite, and it's staying on course to remain my favourite at the moment.
I completely agree with you, Adam. Mm-hmm. This series, of all of them, is my absolute favourite.
Thank you for agreeing with me. Anyway.
It's funny, and I'm thinking that the stories were a bit on the weak side, which is why I've never really gone back and watched several of these a second time. Mm. But I always remember Catherine Tate as my favorite companion.
She could
and it's
be
like,
the
she how could I remember her so well if I don't go back and watch the stories?
Yeah, she could be the magical ingredient. I said agreement, but I don't know, I was getting my words mixed up.
Do you think maybe that... that the Doctor's current companion, Amy Pond, is kind of a recreation because she's another ginger with a smart mouth and not particularly in love with the Doctor?
Amy has no... It does not hold a candle.
No, the thing about Amy, she's very selfish. Also, being quite young.
I don't see
even that. The older Amy was still fairly self-centered.
You're right.
I think Amy,
I
when
see
she
that
fin-
much more... self-centered, the older one. I don't think the younger one is as selfish as a lot of people say.
But it's interesting that the older Amy, when she leaves, is more or less the same age or set to be the same age as Donna was, you know, when she joined. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But no, I'd say they're completely different. I mean, I like Amy as a character. I still think Donna is the best companion of the new series by a long way.
It's gonna, absolutely.
Apart
agree.
From Rory.
It's very good.
I think Rory's a very close second. I think if you'd not had Amy and just had Rory and the Doctor as a team, that would have been fantastic.
Oh, that would have been very
interesting.
Because they bounce
off it. It's just the same. They got that chemistry, Smith and Darville, that really
well.
Really
they're friends anyway, so they
also
get along well.
You look at the fact that that Craig is a character because I say Matt Smith and how can I not remember his name? Place Craig. What's the matter with me?
We've all gone.
I don't know.
We've all blanked on it.
Yeah. Who played? He's going to Wikipedia it.
Go ahead. I'm not going to.
Follow him on Twitter, down. For goodness sake. This is awful. All right. Who's going to get there first?
I don't know.
Who are you looking up?
Who plays Craig?
Exactly.
Oh, good grief.
You're all talking over each other. I still didn't hear. Who are you looking up?
Craig.
The actor.
Who plays
James
Craig?
Craig.
James Corden.
There we go.
As soon as I saw his picture, I didn't actually need to read his name. Kind of weird. Anyway, so I should just imagine him in my mind. He gets on very well with Matt Smith, and he would have made a good long-term companion, but for me, the best companion so far of the new era. Don't you knock my computer, dog.
Is the host here?
Is Donna closely followed by Rory.
The post is here.
Right.
I'm with you on that. I think Rory would have been a great companion.
Well, he was.
Would have been.
Well, I mean, companion. Alone with the Doctor rather than always having Amy in between.
Yes. Ooh. Anyway, back to news. Now, all this news, most of it, in fact, has happened while I've been away. So this is all quite interesting because I don't know this. Christmas prequel for Children in Need 2012. The BBC have announced that, as with many years in the past, Doctor Who will feature as part of its annual Children in Need fundraising evening, where we will see a prequel to the Christmas special. A slightly longer one than we've already seen, obviously.
It's often just like the first minute. I hope it's not that sort of thing again and is a completely separate thing like the prequel to Asylum of the Daleks.
Yeah.
I want something like Time and Space.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
Ooh, yeah.
There's been a filming roundup. Apparently a filming commenced this week on episode 7. So if they've only just started episode 7... it must be quite a long time before we actually get to see them, I surmise. It was written by Neil Cross and directed by Farron Blackburn. What else have we got here? They've got some blanked out text here because it says Neil Gaiman's script 2012-7 has had its read through this week, with the writer saying, in case you are wondering, I'm really a bit nervous. Yeah. The table read of my episode of Doctor Who is next week, which obviously we've just had. It says, think good thoughts at us. I'll try and post some photographs afterwards. And for the curious, the episode will be called Blah Blah Blah. Only with letters instead of ASCII blocks, unless we change the title again before it's broadcast, which might well happen. Actually, I mean, it was originally called Blah 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 Blah. I don't know if you can actually click off those and reveal what actually says.
No, you can't. No, he's just joking.
Ah, okay. Probably just as well then. Stephen Moffat has reiterated that Ben is wrong about him and said he's actually very, very good as a showrunner. Oh, no, that's not what it says. I'll make that up. he's reiterated that Amy won't be back for the 50th anniversary in spite. Does that mean she will be? Because we well know, it's been well founded that Stephen Moffat lies. Yes,
well,
in spite
you
of
really?
Speculation.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am, yes.
Well, seeing as Arthur Darvill and Karen Gillan are saying it, I'm a bit more willing to believe it, but they could be being snuck, you know, £5 notes behind their back.
Well, I did expect to see them in the Christmas special, but they did appear at the end of that. He said, Amy and Rory won't be back. At the very beginning, when I was talking to Karen, I said, let's make it a proper ending. Heaven knows if they will appear in some flashback. I have no plans. But the story of Amy and Rory is over. If he were to return, John Sim would like to take the Master to a different direction. I hope he does. It would be lovely to have John Sim back as playing the Master.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention John Sim when I was talking about your master computer. Sorry.
Oh, grief. Former Doctor Who lead writer Russell D. Davis wants to be surprised by next year. I think I'd be like the ghost at the feast. What would I do? Turn up and make the tea? I have asked current boss Stephen Moffat not to tell me what they are planning. So there you go. So obviously that means Russell D. Davis is not going to have any involvement in the...
What's that? I hear a boo from Ben?
Big Finish, you got some stuff coming out. Unit Domination, which is looks like a Sylvester McCoy story. And there's Love and War, which is another McCoy story. And Voyage to Venus, which is a Colin Baker story, which
brings me
on to the subject.
I'm saving up to get some Big Finish. What should I get first?
Oh, something like Spare Parts.
Okay.
Spare Parts is superb. I didn't drift while listening to Spare Parts. There's a few of them, but that one springs to mind. Spare Parts is very, very good.
Well, isn't that one that was adapted into an actual on-screen story?
Yeah, very loosely though.
What story?
Age of Steel and Rise of the Cybermen.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
Spare Parts is much, much better because it's more believable as being in canon with the Doctor Who we've actually seen. It just goes sort of back beyond the. What was the first Cyberman story then? William Hartnell? 10th Planet. Yeah, it's supposed to sort of be a prequel to that, and it's believable to be a prequel of that. Anyway, moving on.
Adam, you missed the part about how Riversong will be back, but they're not sure when.
Did I? Oh, sorry, did I miss that bit?
Yeah, when you were reading about John Sim possibly coming back as the Master, there's also the statement that Alex Kingston will also be back as Riversong, though not exactly... When?
The page must have dropped down. What happens sometimes, yes. Yeah, sorry about that. Thank you for picking up. So this is what I have people on the show for, to stop me from completely cocking things up. apparently Russell D. Davis was a guest on the Graham Norton show, and I missed that. So I'll have to go back and watch that on the iPlayer. Improvised Time Lord on stage in Melbourne. Now, we were talking about Colin Baker. So there's a little segue there. Because Colin Baker apparently is rumoured to be on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which starts on Sunday. So, that'd be good if he is, because I like I'm a Celebrity to a certain degree, and I like Colin Baker. So, but what one's better? There's only one way to find out. BB announces there's a host of books for 2013. Sharda, of course, actually releasing as a book, which is going to be quite interesting because apparently that's one of the ones that was the estate of Douglas Adams was always refused to be adapted.
It's been a book for a while. Where have you been?
Yeah. It says that BBC Books are putting out a number of publications next year to run up to the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, no, all they're saying is, first of all, I got that out of the library not 2 months ago and read it.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is they're putting it out. They're putting it out. They're putting it out in paperback. That's the point here.
Oh, sorry. Fourth Doctor scarf. Scarf specialists Lavazzi have released a new scarf based on the one worn by the Fourth Doctor Tom Baker during his time on the series. The scarf measures 13 feet, or 3.96 metres, including tassels, and is 8 inches or 28 centimetres wide. Supposedly knitted for the Doctor by witty... Oh, we know that bit, Madame Nostradamus. Yeah, what's the difference then between the one I might be getting? Weird. It says we feel proud to be working with the BBC to create such a wonderful product. I'm a bit worried now that they've done that after my one came out. Well, it's the same price, $49.99.
Well, I think it's the same one. There's just one official version, and this is it.
Well, why are they making out it's brand sure new? It's been out for ages.
Why is this a news item when we've known about it for?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Very strange. Very behind the times, that one.
Because the picture is the same one I've seen all along.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what's really going on there, but it's slightly irritating. Airlock is to be shown in full on the big screen, Series 3 episode, Airlock.
So you're going to go into London and see it?
No, is that not the one that's going to be released in a DVD package anyway?
It should be, yeah.
Yeah, so, no.
It's going to be on the special DVD of the Aztec.
That's my reminder.
Yeah.
I've got to go and move the wife, so I'm going to be gone for about 10-15 minutes now. I'll leave you to talk amongst yourselves. If you want to carry on with the news, please.
Aren't we pretty
much done? I've got to stop the alarm from going off.
Okay. My.
How much more have we got to discuss?
Oh my god!
Well, yeah, nobody's done the charts yet.
Hello?
He's not doing the charts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my alarm just went off, and I just went by what you said, an hour and a half. But I said, all right, I'm on my way, right.
Well, it makes me wonder who is going to be back on the 50th anniversary, because the news says Peter Davison hasn't been contacted, and Tom Baker doesn't want to be, and Amy and Rory aren't going to be there, and...
Well, I thought I heard that Tom Baker did want to be, just not as the Doctor.
Oh, really? Okay.
I heard
he'd do it if they just took him there, if they went to pick him up and gave him a trailer to be into filming.
Yeah, so...
He doesn't have the negative view that he had during the Five Doctors time.
Okay, and now
he's been pulled... completely back into Big Finish and everything. He's fine.
And Eccleston doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And
well, duh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I mean, who's going to come back? Are they going to have anybody come back?
Maybe they shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point all along. Why even try to do that? Just talk about the beginnings of Doctor Who.
Because the show is 50 years old and you're going to get one of those.
Yeah.
Who knows? They could have everyone coming back and they're just not going to tell us.
I bet that's what's happening.
Yeah. They want us to sit there going, oh, look, it's, you know, and we're going to do that for the whole hour.
Yeah.
That's my only problem. If they do get everyone possible to come back, they won't have a way to explain that in the story, really.
Yeah, it would have to be some special story. That only Neil Gaiman can write.
No, it'll be a Beth Toffee one.
A what?
Don't you know about that?
No, I don't. Tell me.
The Staggering Stories podcast has a a team member who likes making anagrams, and Vast Toffee is an anagram of Stephen Moffat.
Amen. Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, Vast Toffee, MN.
Okay. And why did they do that?
They did that because one of them was a bit bored and just wanted to make an anagram of Stephen Moffat.
Okay.
And I think I heard them saying that before I even ever heard of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Because I heard of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast through Staggering Stories, through commentary, through feedback from someone who doesn't seem to ever send them any feedback anymore, named Reese Parton.
I wonder who that is.
Why don't you ever give them any feedback?
Probably because he's gone out on his own, you know, and he's exploring new and different ways of, not just podcasting, right, Reese?
Yes, that's one reason, but also I need to find the time to sit down and record and get my thoughts in order. I'll try my best for the next episode, but I probably missed the recording deadline now, haven't I?
Yeah, I think that you've missed the recording deadline.
I think so.
They do it on Mondays too, don't they?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, well, in two episodes' time, I should be heard then.
Okay.
Well, I think you're too hard on yourself, thinking you have to put one out every week. Not all the podcasts, you know, come out on a regular basis.
Well, this is about feedback to Staggering Stories.
Oh, okay.
It's gone quiet.
It sure has.
I'm reading Facebook. It's like there's something going on in the United States today. Can't imagine what.
Oh, no, nothing major.
No.
Well, Kirby, have you voted yet?
I voted like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you're one of the early ones. Okay.
We apparently even Australians are commenting about the elections.
Oh,
someone named Reese Park?
Yeah, I was going to say, tell me about it. Reese and I have been back and forth on that one.
Yes, you have, Mary. I've just been trying to ignore you. No offense.
No offense taken. But Kirby, you did your podcast with the Earth Station Who, which I had not heard of. I had a while back, but I hadn't really paid much attention until you were on it. That was very enjoyable.
Yeah, I know those guys. They are Atlanta-based. And I run into them at various conventions, comic things, and conventions I go to. And
have you been to Timegate before?
Yeah, I went to Timegate 2 years ago. And unfortunately, I missed it last year because my oldest daughter graduated from high school, and I'm going to miss it this coming year because my geek daughter is graduating
from
high
school. Next one, yeah.
So, which is too bad because Colin Baker is the guest of honor. And we're just gonna be too busy. Even the geek daughter would like to go.
Wow.
Because Colin Baker, but it's just too busy that weekend. But I have a couple of years there before the youngest daughter graduates. I might be able to time well, pace.
Yeah, well, I'll be going to Chicago TARDIS.
Oh, cool.
But I get to see Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Sophie was guest of honor at the one that I went to.
Yeah, now what does a guest of honor do? I've never been to a convention.
You've never been to a convention? I've been to over 100 conventions.
Wow.
And science fiction conventions in general. So, well, they're brought in and...
I mean, do they give a talk or do they...
Yeah, a talk, and they'll be available for autographs. And at Timegate, they had Sophie do a live commentary to an episode of what was it? Greatest Show in the Galaxy, which I've still never seen any episode except for that one. And since it's, at the time, is it out on DVD yet? It wasn't at the time.
Okay.
And so she was kind of going, where did you get this? they generally are available to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They have not put out a schedule of any kind as to what, you know, who's talking or what's going on. So I don't know what to expect when they have a guest of honor like these two.
Well, they're not the only guests.
No, there's quite a few others, but not of that caliber, you know. Was it Nick Briggs is going to be there? The
that caliber?
The Dalek.
and let's see, I'm bringing up Sylvester and Sophie. Look at this. You've got Ian McNeice, that's Winston Churchill, Simon Fisher Becker, who's awesome, Nick Briggs.
No, I think he played
Dorian. It's been a while since I've looked at the list.
Toby Haydock.
Yeah, that's Andy right. He's going to be there.
People I've never heard of.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are part of Big Finish.
Yeah. Yeah, because I won a picture of last year, the Earth Station 1 people had a hunt. They went around to some Finnish and some comic artists.
You're kind of getting blocked out by the dog barking.
And had it autographed by people, and I won that photograph. Obviously, you're staying at the hotel. What hotel is that?
No, I'm not staying at the hotel where the convention is, because even though they've got a great deal going, where you pay one price for the room, and it doesn't matter how many people you pack in the room, it's just that one price for the room, I'm by myself. I don't know anybody else who wants to go. So I decided to go with a cheaper room in a hotel, you know, down the road.
Be prepared for late nights. buy a fez. because I tell you, 80% of the people are going to be cosplaying.
Really? Okay. That'll be fun to take a lot of pictures of.
I think it's interesting and a bit annoying that the fez only appeared in one episode, really, and it's become a huge part of the costume, apparently. I don't think that should be the way.
Well, true, but I mean, it's such a random thing.
True.
I think it just startled everybody, so it's made a big impression.
And on the programming page now, they have panel discussions are starting to be put together. choosing the best and the worst. Big anniversary is nearly upon us, which means every one of their aunt will be making their lists on what's the best and worst about Doctor Who. Cosplay Mania, Cosplay Support Group, Cosplaying Classic Series, is Doctor Who a religion?
I like that. It stopped being fun, Doctor, fun, but I'm Doctor, still watching? Yeah. What?
It's still fun.
It's still fun, yes.
Just all sorts of interesting things. And I'm okay, sure
lots and lots of cosplay.
There will be a room with episodes playing. There's take lots of money to buy stuff.
Stuff, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I plan to buy the Chicks Unravel Time.
Yes.
Anyway, the viewing figures for
there he is. There he is. And there are going to be several podcasters there.
Yes.
Asylum of the Daleks was the one that took the most all round.
We were talking about Chicago.
Wait, we're having a conversation here.
Yeah. Be quiet until we're done.
Then Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, then Town Called Mercy, then Power of Three, and Angels Take Manhattan. That's interesting, isn't it, that Angels Take Manhattan was the least favourite, even though it got really good figures, actually. Anyway, yes, Chicago TARDIS, were you talking about?
Yeah. I was wondering, Reese, do they have conventions where you are?
Yeah, out in a strange place called Australia, yes.
Yeah.
Well, the weird people from England do come over here and they... Well, the concerts did start in the UK, but we do get conventions.
We don't get any concerts here.
True, but we do get conventions, but I don't think many of them are solely Doctor Who. They're mainly science fiction conventions, and some Doctor Who actors appear there. For example, mm-hmm. there's one in Melbourne, I think next year, that the cast of Red Dwarf, and I think Colin Baker, Peter Davison, and I think another Doctor are coming to. But there are also other sci-fi shows, casts there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're talking about Doctors with Fezzes, or the Doctor with a Fez, weren't you?
I wasn't, they were.
No, notice the picture I just put up on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group.
I did.
I'll look
Fez. In a minute. So,
okay.
Mary, will you
yes.
will you be able to get? I'm unsure of how autographs and photographs work. I'm looking at their autographs and photograph policy, and it's confusing. Do you get?
It is very confusing.
Any autographs for your admission without any extra fees or not?
Yeah. Well, my admission says that I get. An autograph and a photograph, but then they have their policy where maybe the person you want to have your photograph or autograph with has their own arrangement, in which case you have to pay anyway. So I don't know.
When I was last involved with dealing with conventions, science fiction conventions, there weren't charges for autographs.
Uh-huh.
You just got in line, and that's how I got Douglas Adams' autograph on the trilogy, all three books.
Wow!
Hey, I also have Robert Heinlein's autograph.
Ooh! Oh my gosh! I'm very impressed.
Robert Haynes' autograph? Who
knows? I thought you were going to say that too.
I've got that. I've got somewhere.
Anyway, I guess Adam wants to get back to discussing other things.
Yeah, no, I was just...
your iMac, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the figures on top of the iMac, the peeping over the top. A Doctor with Fez, because you were talking about the Doctor with Fez. I'll just take a picture of my Mac. Sorry, that's all it was, really.
Okay.
Last night, I watched the mostly pretty bad The Doctor, The Widow, and The Wardrobe. On the extras were a series of American celebrities... you can't speak. Celebrity fans, none of whom I had ever heard of. I would have thought Kirby to now be famous enough to get himself on there, but sadly no.
No.
That's by Rob Lansdowne on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. Of course, if you want to send anything to the show, you can either do it on there, or more easier, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. It's like having Robert on the show. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Yes,
was
Robert.
Was one of the celebrity fans, Chris Hardwick, because Reese knows all about him.
Yes, I do.
Talking of Reese,
yes.
As Kirby didn't plug the Who is the Man podcast on the Earth Station Who, was it? Something like that? Was it Earth Station Who you were on? No? Okay, well, I thought it was.
Earth Station Who, yes.
Yeah. Then I shall plug it here. Please listen to the Who is the Man podcast with some bloke that occasionally appears on this show.
Robert Haynes.
Is he on there?
He's on there sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. What else we got here? I'm going to go on to eBay in a minute, but somebody just commented on my... Rob Lansdowne, this page should be called the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast with a side source of Apple.
Yeah.
Well, yes, because Apple does produce wonderful products.
They do produce wonderful products, I agree.
Sorry, I was looking at the iPad Mini and comparing it to the Google Nexus 7. Mm. I'm afraid I'm going to go Google.
Tut-tut.
Well, I saw the iPad Mini in the Apple Store on Saturday, and it doesn't really hold up much to the normal iPad. Although it probably has the same. It's apparently as powerful as iPad 2, but the normal iPad is exactly the right size and shape a tablet computer should be. I just think it's a bit...
I can't afford it.
Okay. It's still not too bad, reasonably priced. But it's okay. I just like my iPad as it is, that size and stuff. It's just right for viewing, watching things online or watching it, because obviously the iPhone is a bit too small, even though I have watched films and stuff on it. It is a little bit too small, and even with a Retina screen, too small. But this with a Retina screen,
I've got my iPod Touch, which is the same size as the iPhone, and it's too small, and I want something I want a tablet of some sort, and I can afford the Nexus 7.
Makes sense. Good machine.
What about the iPad, not the iPad Mini?
Well, iPad's probably twice as expensive as the Nexus, is it?
Mm. Way too expensive.
Mm. But it's good. Right. It's a good piece of kit.
That's because it's good quality.
it's a good piece of kit. I mean, I'm trying to work out what I'm going to write this new quiz books I've got to write, what I'm going to write on, whether I write it on the old PC, whether I write it on the iMac. But I'd rather be able to write on something I can just pick up and write. You know, and if I can use the iPad, I'll use the iPad. It's just whether my publishers accept Pages documents, PDF documents, or whether they are very fussy and want a Word document. If they are very fussy and want a Word document, it's going to make it a bit more difficult for me to devote as much time as I need to, because it means I will have to sit. I have to sit at a specific computer to use Microsoft Word, and that is the one that Deb slightly damaged that time.
You can convert. You write in something else and convert.
I have Word for Mac.
Do you? I don't.
Yeah. Of course, you have to buy it. I mean, it's exactly. The whole.
I've already bought it once for the PC. Buy it again.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yes. Before we go, I suppose before I check on the dog's dinner. The only thing about the dog's dinner, I'm going to be in trouble. I was in trouble anyway because I wasn't there to pick Deb up as and when she finished her last customer.
No.
She had to wait for me. But I'm going to be in trouble still further because when I put the dog's dinner on at 12, I forgot to put the mince in. So it's just basically boiling up veg. So I've just added the mince now. So that's going to be a slightly delay. The dogs aren't bothered, but Deb, if she discovers, which she won't because it'll be 4 o'clock before she comes home, would be a little bit annoyed about that. So there you go.
I'll tell.
Will you?
Oh, tell.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I was being quiet without Robert. Dear me.
Adam.
Mary's got the accent right.
Yeah. That's weird because I'm Australian. I think I mean the voice.
Right. Okay. eBay. Now, I'm hoping things have changed since I last perused eBay. And they have indeed. This is very interesting.
Good word.
What?
Perused. Is that one I hear very often.
Oh, okay. The top or the most expensive item on eBay at this moment, in obviously UK eBay, is priced at £6,299. Or it actually says £1.99 to £6,299. Buy it now with £1.20 postage. Weird. What it actually says, the item is Doctor Who DVD / DVDs complete your collection. Doctors 1 to 8 plus 10. So basically it's that they're offering, you know, if you've got missing Doctor Who stories from your DVD collection, £1.99 will get you the one you're missing. Sounds a bit dodgy to me. Don't know why it's got.
It does.
Well, it's got the 1,000 whatever is the thousands of pounds. It was that's weird. Because that actually, when you go click on it,
shut that person down.
Well, if you go into it, it only says £1.99. Yet the thing it says £1.99 to £6,299. So how they do that, I don't know. So that sounds a bit dodgy, but there you go. Moving on. The one that, if it is not dodgy, the most expensive one, is priced at £3,591. Doctor Who and the Leisure Hive, David Fisher New with the... Why is it so expensive? It looks like the artwork that my good pal, Alistair Pearson, painted. Just want to see. It says new. A new unused book in perfect condition with no missing or damaged pages. Doesn't say why it's so expensive though. Weird. But it's actually listed at £3,500. What's going on there? Nobody knows. If anybody does know, please let me know, because I can't understand why that is such an expensive book. But anyway, items with bids against is £650 for full-size TARDIS.
Ooh.
Yes, please.
That's actually not bad.
What, for a price for a TARDIS?
Yes.
I wonder if it's how you're supposed to get it. Replica police box signed, it says. Who's it signed by? Kirby Bartlett Slug.
Right.
Full-size police box, all signs, lights up, and it's signed by Colin Baker and
Ooh.
John Burton. John Burton Sargent.
Who?
No, in Doctor Who. It says John Burton. I think it should say John Benton. No. What? I don't know what's... What's it saying? It says, signed by Colin Baker, the sixth Doctor Who, and John Burton Sargent in Doctor Who.
The sixth Who?
Exactly.
There is no character named Doctor Who.
Yeah, and no. The beacon flashes, bolts together, and is weatherproofed. Never been outside.
Well, why is it weatherproofed?
Only been out for my toy fair conventions, then stored in my dry shed. Yeah,
why are they getting rid of it?
Where is it? Hampshire. Oh, it's quite local. Ooh, I could get that across the ferry. If only I had £650. I don't think I'd have to hire a van and pay about £100 ferry prices. So it cost me at £750. But that'd be great in the back garden, wouldn't it? Don't think Deb would go with that one somewhere. Deb, can I have a TARDIS? No! Play Doctor Who. Yeah, so that's quite a good most expensive list item with bids against it. The next most expensive, Matt Smith signed Doctor Who script and postcard, £260. Current bid at. What's the script for? Last Day of... I can't read that. I have to just click on it because I can't see it. Last Day of the Something by Chris Chibnall. Hang on a sec. I'll see what the blurb says. No, hang on. No, it doesn't say anything. Why can't I see it? I want to see it. Can anybody see it? See if I can get close enough to the screen to read what it says.
I've already discovered going on to the UK version, just it doesn't always match up.
No, it says 5th of June 2012, last day of the... And I can't read the last word there by Chris Chibnall. So, anyway, it's signed by Matt Smith. £260.
Cool.
Unless it's a script for an episode we haven't seen yet, which is likely to be the case if it's dated the 5th of June 2012. Weird. Dodgy. BBC won't be happy. All right, moving on. Unless, of course, it's for charity, which would be for Children in Need. I'm surprised there wasn't a Children in Need auction, actually. Everybody's riveted to this. It's all gone very quiet. And I can smell
because
burning.
You're the only person looking at these.
I can smell burning. I've got to try
and
do
this. We can't look at the same ones.
Now, I can smell burning, so I must go to the kitchen in a moment.
It's like final item. Lineup is different than his.
Indeed. Yes. Talking of iTunes, I'll do that next week. Yes, Torchwood props, very rare, a must-see for fans. John Barrowman signed BBC Torchwood. Looks like a call sheet. Doesn't really know what it is, actually. Doesn't really explain it. A unique opportunity. Collection of Torchwood props and memorabilia for sale, which include script call sheets from episode Miracle Day at the Gathering, signed by John Barrowman. Torchwood DVD, first ever episode, signed by Russell T. Davis. Blah, 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 blah. But this is obviously the call sheet thing. So that's it. And that's got bids against it, £180. All it is a piece of paper with Torchwood written on it and BBC and... stuff. So what, people have got too much money on their hands. I'm just going to check on the burning. I mean, the dog's dinner. Won't be set.
Oh my goodness! I'm looking at the guests for Timegate.
Yeah,
we've got Graham Harper.
I know. I looked at Timegate too.
Colin Baker, Graham Harper, Jodie Lynn Nye, who I have. Oh, I didn't know she had contributed to Chicks Dig Time Lords. Because I know her from way back when I used to help run regular science fiction conventions.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, I have two very disappointed daughters because Chicago TARDIS starts on Thanksgiving evening, so I've got to be in Chicago rather than home for Thanksgiving.
And are you taking any recording devices?
You better.
Hmm.
Hello.
Hello. She's gone very, very quiet, isn't she? Are you going to take any recording devices to this event?
Oh, am I going to? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the beginning of that. Well, I'm going to try to. I've got a little digital one, and I've got like a cassette player recorder. I'll probably take both of them.
When you started with saying, I've got a little digital one, I was going to sort of go on with a bit of innuendo then, but then you continued and said cassette recorder, which rather
Oh, don't let me stop you.
Well, I was waiting for Reese. Three settings, is it? Well, there you go. Reese, you're missing out. What's going on?
Yeah, where's Reese when we need him?
I'm just waiting for you guys to embarrass yourselves.
Professor and Sophie to do an introduction to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, I sort of am hoping I can do that, yeah.
There we go. Right. So,
Nick Briggs should have his Dalek voice thingamabob with him.
Ooh, that would be
ring modulator.
Cool.
Yes. Although I did hint for when he appeared on this show for him to do something like that.
Yeah.
But he just told me where to get one. Ring modulator.
Oh.
And I didn't use that one. I just used one.
Oh, ring modulator, right.
A ring modulator that I got as an app from the iTunes store, which works just as well. Yes, it does. Shut up. Right. yes, so thanks everybody for recording on Tuesday.
It's
rather confused me because I don't know where I am this week. But yes, thank you very much. Next week, I suspect we'll be returning to Sunday, will we? I don't know. What's going on?
Of course, Sunday is like 6 days away. Or are you talking about a week
with
from Sunday?
5 days away. Or do you want to ease into that by doing it Monday next week? And then we'll do it Sunday the week after that. It's all gone quiet
that
over
works.
There.
Well, I always prefer Sunday because I can be there for the whole podcast. But
okay.
But we only have a few days to do a double episode, which is kind of...
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? So shall we say Monday, then?
That's just one more day, but if that makes it better for everybody, that's fine.
Well, I can't do it Tuesday. I'm at work. What
well, could? I know. I'm just wondering, you know, this Sunday or the following Sunday.
Maybe pick a classic episode instead.
No, we can't do that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No, it's got to try and fit in a double
episode.
No. So, yeah. So, in that case, we'll be watching the Poison Sky Centauran Stratagem type thing episode.
So, for which day?
Yeah, for what day are we doing
Monday. Next Monday. Is that all right, Reese?
If it's at 10 PM, then yeah, that'll work out.
What, is that what it is there now? Or was there when we started?
Yes.
Are you still on daylight time, Reese?
Well,
summer,
of course he is.
Right, okay. Good, we'll do that then. And hopefully Robert will be back next week. And as I said, you can send in your...
Adam.
Yes, Robert.
Adam.
Your correspondence is to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And thank you to Jim the Fish, Ian Kirk, and Matthew Kressel for sending in theirs. And please do some
Matthew's
more.
Been trying to help me find some more stuff on Miranda Hart.
Yeah, Miranda, she
I tried too.
She's supposed to be coming, appearing in Doctor Who at some point. Well, they've been trying to get her into it. So hopefully she will
do.
She's
good, talented. Yeah.
She is good. She's very good. She's very talented.
Did we ever go around each of us and say how we liked the episode that we were talking about today?
Yes, we did, but you weren't listening. I said how I liked it. Mary
and
how she liked it.
Mm-hmm, and I did.
Sort of said,
I liked it.
Meh.
And I did.
Magic flapped his ears. So at the end of the day, okay. I think we all generally
that
quite
was
liked
Robert.
It. Yes. Right, so that's it then. So until next week, thank you for listening to the show. It's nice to be back. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
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 Moon Podcast is an ABPV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!